We continue our study about God's work in the Old Testament with the nation of Edom, and in contrast, we see his work with the nation of Israel, whom he loved, as God dealt with the wicked nation of Edom, those descendants of Esau, and in a different way than he dealt with his children of Israel, especially as we see the eventual destruction of the nation of Edom, whereas God did show mercy on Israel for the remnant that turned to him in repentance. We do see in common with both the wicked of any nation God would not accept, but he did show mercy to the ones who were good in Israel. But Edom was a wicked nation, really, from its outset, as we have traced through in this study thus far. Last week, we ended up looking at one of the individual examples of the evil of the nation of Edom with Doeg the Edomite that destroyed the city of Nob and slaughtered it, including all the Lord's priests that were there. As he was willing to do that deed that no one else, even among Saul's own servants at his command, were willing to carry out. Doeg the Edomite did so. We have one more example of an individual that represented the nation of Edom, and this should come as no surprise in 1 Kings chapter 11. After King Solomon had his heart turned to idols by the wives that he married, which also included Edomites, as we saw that that was mentioned earlier in 1 Kings chapter 11, and because of their wickedness, the Lord was against his people marrying them. Solomon did, as well as women, princesses from many other lands, and they turned his heart to idols. Now, before his repentance, God did bring punishment on Solomon. He raised up adversaries, enemies against him. Well, if the Lord is looking for someone to raise up as an enemy to King Solomon to punish, what better nation to choose one from than Edom, which is what he did. He chose Hadad, who was an Edomite, as one of Solomon's adversaries. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 14 through 22, it says, "And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. For it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab the captain of the host was gone up to bury the slain after he had smitten every male in Edom. For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. That Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt. Hadad being yet a little child, and they arose out of Midian and came to Paran. And they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave them him a house, and appointed him victuals, and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tapenes, the queen. And the sister of Tapenes bare him Gerubath, his son, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. Genobath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, 'Let me depart, that I may go to mine own country.' Then Pharaoh said unto him, 'But what hast thou lacked with me, and that, behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country?' And he answered, 'Nothing, howbeit, let me go in any wise.'" And so those were the circumstances by which Hadad became an adversary to King Solomon. But we can see the roots of that there. Now, the ultimate roots go back to the very beginning with Jacob and Esau, the brothers. But as we've seen, that bitterness and enmity was there with the Edomites ever afterward towards the children of Israel. When they denied them passage through their land and food and water when they were going through the wilderness to go up to receive their inheritance from the Lord. And then with these other wicked ones. But it was a wicked nation. We see examples of these wicked individuals from the nation that troubled Israel at times. Now, one of the parts that came out in what we just read in that account in 1 Kings chapter 11, where we want to turn our attention to now, is how God punished Edom, this wicked nation. Now, there was a struggle, as he put it, that began in Rebekah's womb with the fathers of the nations of Edom and Israel, Jacob and Esau, back in Genesis 25, that we've read before, verses 22 through 26, and where it says, "And the children struggled together within her," that is, within Rebekah, their mother. "And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb." So she was the mother of two nations, Israel and Edom, by these twins that were in her womb. "And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." So there was this struggle in her womb, and here's Jacob grabbing Esau's heel right there at the time of their very birth. So the struggle started even before they were born. But God foretold that the elder Esau would serve the younger Jacob, and that that nation from the younger, which would be the children of Israel, would be a stronger nation than the nation of Edom that Esau would be the father of. Genesis 27, verse 29, he said, "Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Now, that was the blessing that God inspired through Isaac, that Isaac intended to give to Esau, but we can see with those words how that would not that could not fit in with the plans that God had and with what he had already foretold he was going to do with fulfilling the blessings that he had promised to Abraham and Isaac through Jacob rather than Esau, and that Jacob was going to be the stronger and that Esau would be the weaker and serve the elder. And so that blessing of Isaac went to Jacob instead of Esau, as it was God's will. But we can see in that prophecy, this was God speaking through Isaac, that these nations would bow down to serve Israel, and Israel would be Lord over his brethren. And his mother's sons would bow down to him. So there again, God was foretelling the strength of Israel compared to, well, particularly, as we can see, Esau's descendants, the nation of Edom. And what he said to Esau in verse 40 of Genesis 27, when he gave this lesser blessing to Esau, he says, "And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Well, that would precede Edom's destruction, but that's coming up later in our study, Lord willing. But this was God foretelling how things were going to go between the two nations. And as such, Edom becoming a wicked nation, God punished Edom, and he used many of the Israelites as the source of punishment to subdue Edom, in keeping with those prophecies all the way back to the book of Genesis. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 47. This happened with King Saul, who vexed Edom. 1 Samuel 14, 47. "So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them." Well, the Edomites are included there among those whom King Saul vexed in his time. We know that David came after Saul, and David subdued Edom. In Psalm 108, one of these Psalms of David, in verses 9 and 10, he said, "Moab is my washpot, over Edom will I cast out my shoe, over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom?" So we can see from the words of that particular psalm, as it was in David's time, that David was going to be very busy as God's servant in Edom and working against the Edomites. We read some about that in 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 14. 2 Samuel 8, 14. Speaking of David, it says, "And he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went." 1 Chronicles 18, 11 to 13. 1 Chronicles 18, 11 to 13. "Them also King David dedicated unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom and from Moab and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines and from Amalek. Moreover, Abishai the son of Zeruiah slew of the Edomites in the Valley of Salt 18,000. And he put garrisons in Edom, and the Edomites became David's servants. Thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went." So we find some additional details in that account in 1 Chronicles chapter 18 compared to what he spoke about of that same situation in 2 Samuel 8. And then we've already seen a little bit more even in 1 Kings 11, 15 and 16, when we were reading about Hadad that became Solomon's adversary. Well, he not only carried the general bitterness and hatred that the Edomites had towards the children of Israel, but he had the additional bitterness against Dave, the house of David, because David had subdued them, and there had been many of the Edomites who were slaughtered. It speaks of Joab there in 1 Kings 11, 15, and 16, just to revisit that momentarily. "For it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain after he had smitten every male in Edom. For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom." So you have Abishai, Joab's brother, who slew 18,000 of the Edomites. And then Joab stayed for 6 months, subduing the Edomites and slaughtering the males there. And Hadad was among a few who escaped and then went down to Egypt for refuge. And so he carried a great hatred for Israel and for the house of David. But all of this was God's work against Edom for their wickedness. And he used Saul, first of all, but then we see especially how he used David in that. Psalm 60. This was a psalm inspired by God through David at that very time when Joab had been smiting the Edomites there. This psalm was to the chief musician upon Shushataduth, Mictum of David, to teach when he strove with Aram-Harim and with Aram-Zobah when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the Valley of Salt 12,000. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased, O Lord, thou hast been displeased, O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, terrible, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which has cast us off? O thou, O God, which does not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for it is that shall tread down our enemies. Now we see reference there to prior troubles that Israel had, and the times of their troubles that they had had with the Lord was because of their wickedness, but of course not so under David. And that's why David was raised up by the Lord and did much damage and brought much trouble to the Edomites. God used him to punish that wicked nation. So it was spoken of there in the Psalms, and we see how it was described in those books that record the history of Israel in David's time. Well, Solomon inherited that situation from his father David. And was Solomon known for being a warrior? No, he wasn't. He's known for certainly the wealth that he accumulated, but that was directly because of the situation that he inherited from David. The enemies were already subdued. Solomon then was able to spend his time and years, rather than fighting to subdue enemies, to engage in trade and to accumulate the wealth that he did. But Solomon did not have to put those enemies down. Who was the one that subdued all those enemies before him? Of course, that was David, including Edom. So Solomon, we read about how he operated ships there in Edom. 1 Kings 8, 26 through 28, and King Solomon made a navy of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon. Now that same situation is recorded in 2 Chronicles 8, chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. If you would like the additional reference there. But that speaks about Solomon operating those ships there. He had not only had ships going on the Mediterranean Sea, but he operated ships in the Red Sea that gave him access to those coastal regions of Arabia and Africa. Solomon gained much wealth, the gold of Ophir that we read so much about in the Old Testament time. That came directly from those ships that were plying those waters of the Red Sea that had their port there in the land that technically belonged to Edom. So the subduing of Edom by David set the stage for Solomon to use that and to gain much wealth. But that wealth didn't go to the Edomites through their ships in that area that was of their own. That ended up going to Israel. So God subdued Edom under David, and then we can see how Solomon continued to keep them under heel, and how he operated his ships in their territory. Going all the way from there to Jehoshaphat's time, and this is several kings later, in 1 Kings 22:47, we read this comment, 1 Kings 22:47, there was then no king in Edom, a deputy was king. Well, David, as we read, had subdued the Edomites, and going back to his time with what David did, was Edom... were they operating as an independent kingdom through all of this time? No, they were really, in essence, what we would call a vassal state of Israel. Israel had control, had dominion over the Edomites. They had a deputy appointed there, and so they didn't even have their own actual king to independently run their nation as an independent nation. Hadad, of course, chafed at that, hated that, as we were reading about. But it shows us the extent to which, as God had promised, did the elder serve the younger? Edom is serving Israel through all of these years, especially as we're reading about it from David's time through Solomon's all the way to Jehoshaphat's time. through that whole period, many generations, there's no king there. They are fully serving their brother Israel, just like God said they would. Well, it was fulfillment of that, but it was also at the same time God's work to particularly to punish the wicked there of Edom. Now, Jehoshaphat, we read about Jehoshaphat warring against Edom and defeating them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I mean, that is the primary subject of that chapter, 2 Chronicles 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat, before all the people, pled with the Lord for God to give them help and deliverance from these enemies that were gathered against him. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built them thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir." So these, the children of Lot, the two nations from Lot here, joined together with the descendants of Esau. You know how sad that is. The children of Lot and the children of Esau, here they are, the ones all gathered together as one against the children of Israel. He says, "Whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade." And so Jehoshaphat speaks of the fact that God wouldn't let Israel take the inheritance of the children of Lot or the children of Esau. He says that you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. "Behold, I say, how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, for our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Well, God wasn't going to let Israel take the inheritance that he'd given to them, lesser of an inheritance though it was in comparison to what he was had given to the children of Esau. But was he going to let Moab and Ammon and Edom now take Israel's land? Of course he was not. But this was the basis of Jehoshaphat's plea to the Lord. But he's acknowledging God's authority, that he's the one that rules in all these kingdoms of men, and that it's God that has the power and dominion and is able to grant this deliverance to Israel. He's fully trusting in the Lord here, and he's rewarded for it. It says, "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, of the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat appointed the singers and everyone to be praising the Lord. Now, did this require trust in the Lord, hearing those words? And here you've got three nations banded together to come against him, and here he goes out to them. Rather than organizing his army with the soldiers, he's organized singers and those that are going to praise the Lord. Now, if he didn't fully trust that the Lord was going to do what he said and didn't fully believe that that was God's word spoken through that prophet and that God was able to give them victory here, when the Lord said, you're not even going to need to fight, if he didn't believe that, would he have done what he did? He shows that he believes fully what he heard from God, and he shows his trust in the Lord. And so the Lord gave that deliverance there. It says, and when they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of it, slaying the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So that's what happened on that day. They all destroyed each other. They turned on each other. Well, God turned them on each other and destroyed them. And so God gave deliverance to Jehoshaphat without an actual fight occurring on that occasion. But that was God's reward to Jehoshaphat for his faith. 2 Kings chapter 8, 20 through 22, it says, 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. This is under the time of Jehoram, that was the son of Jehoshaphat, who had married Ahab's daughter, Athaliah, and he turned to the wicked ways of the house of Ahab. 2 Kings 8, 20 through 22 says, in his days Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. So for all these years, from David's time all the way down now to Jehoram, who is now the son-in-law of Ahab, king of Israel. You have many, many, many years that have passed under this time where Edom is fully subdued and serving Israel. The elder was serving the younger. But now, when they have a wicked king, now Edom rebels from under Judah's hand, and they made a king over themselves. So Joram went over to Zair and all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him about, and the captains of the chariots, and the people fled into their tents. Yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. Jehoram went out and won a battle, but was not able to subdue them like they had been before. That account is also recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, 8 through 10. And then they revolted again, rebelled in the time of King Ahaz. So we see these very wicked kings of Judah, and in their times, without surprise, then God is not blessing Judah when they have turned away from and rejected the Lord, not rewarding them or blessing them as he did in the days of their righteous kings like David and Solomon and Jehoshaphat. And so we see rebellion, their enemies coming against them like God promised. And so Edom rebelled against Ahaz. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, 16 and 17. At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him, for again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. Now Amaziah had defeated Edom, but then he committed the great sin after defeating them of taking their idols to worship them. And that's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. So that was something that happened before Ahaz's time. But we see this pattern with God working against and punishing these Edomites for their wickedness. And at times when Judah turned to wickedness, he punished them too. And sometimes that was with rebellion of the Edomites under their hand. This is going to be the pattern all the way through. Now, finally, and after all of this time and after all of these occasions, when Edom was subdued by Israel, and that's on top of everything else before that happened, going all the way back to the time of Jacob and Esau themselves, how much hatred does Edom bear towards Israel? It is a great hatred, and it's going to really be demonstrated when God finally punished Judah when he delivered them into the hands of the Babylonians. And Edom is going to help the Babylonians, and to the point where they're going to try to use that situation to fully destroy Israel. It's an opportunity that they're looking for them to be able to join in and destroy Israel. And God is going to punish Edom and ultimately utterly destroy Edom for that. So, Lord willing, next time we will look at what happened there at the time of the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and what that did, and how that also related to what was going on with the nation of Edom towards Israel. This is an opportunity for you tonight, if you're not yet a child of God, to come forward and repent and be baptized into his name for the remission of your sins. Or if you are a member of the Lord's body, if you need the prayers of the church or you need repentance tonight, you may also come at this time. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation now, please stand while we stand together and sing. Please come while we stand together and sing.